The story of Mert and Marv. Sanfield Malone has told Mert that he loves her, and that presuming he will be acquitted of the murder charge, he will settle his affairs in Mexico City and then go to Chicago. Jack Arnold is making arrangements to join a Chicago law firm, and at the moment, the girls are getting ready for the Chicago opening of their show. We'll join them in a moment for today's episode and the story of Mert and Marv. It's about an hour after Jimmy showed up at the girl's apartment and tried to borrow $200. As you remember, Mert ordered him to leave. The girls are still discussing him as we join them. Mert says,
"Come on, Margie. You've got to snap out of it. There's no sense worrying over a good-for-nothing like Jimmy."
"I wonder if he'll always keep on worrying me."
"If you let him, he will."
"Well, I'm just not going to let him. I'm not going to give him another red cent."
"Atta, baby.
Only what if he gets hungry and has to beg or something?"
"Not that bird. He'll wire you, 'Marge, will you send me $10? And you'll probably send it.
I'd like to see myself doing it.
But what can you do with a fool like Jimmy? He's positively pathetic. No more character than a glass eye. Say, I wonder why those trunks don't get up here.
We certainly have collected a lot of stuff in the last 6 months. How am I ever going to get all these things in my one trunk?"
"Well, all those crazy dolls we picked up in nightclubs stay right here."
"Oh, Myrtle, no."
"Oh, you can collect another doll family in Chicago. It'll give you something to do."
"Oh, you're going to take your doll Marguerite with you, aren't you, Myrtle?"
"Of course. Here, hand me that big bath towel, Margie. I'll wrap her in that so her head won't get smashed."
"Have you noticed something about her, Myrtle?"
"Yes, dear. You've washed and ironed her clothes and she looks beautiful. A real glamour gal."
"Jackie chewed one of her shoes a little bit, but it doesn't show much."
"Oh, say, that's another thing. Whatever are we going to do with that mutt? Come here, hound." "What are we going to do with you, Jackie?" "My goodness.
Look at her, Myrtle. She knows something's up. Say, I thought of something.
What?"
"The telephone operator has a little brother." "Just a minute. Hello? Hello, Harriet? Yeah, this is Margie Minter. Look, you told me you had a little brother." "Yes." "Well, you see, we're leaving New York tomorrow, and I've decided to give him my dog." "Oh, what's that? Oh. Well, I'm sorry." "Oh, no. No, thanks, just the same."
"What'd you say, dear?"
"She told me he has a dog, and his dog had four brand new puppies, and she asked me if I'd like to have one."
"Oh, good gracious." "Did you ask Ben if he wanted her?"
"Yes, I did, but he wouldn't take her. He says she isn't a rabbit hound."
"Well, Jackie might be. Oh, who knows?" "But I guess we'll never find out. Oh, the trunks at last. Well, well, when did the boat dock? Put them right in here, Peter." "Say, Peter, these trunks will be ready to go out early in the morning, and they'll be picked up downstairs at 10 o'clock.
Say, Peter, how would you like a nice dog?"
"No."
"Well, do you know any little boy who'd like a dog?"
"No."
"Do you know anybody who wants a dog?"
"No."
"Here's a quarter for knowing so much. If you'd said yes, I'd have given you a dollar."
"No."
"Yes."
"Well, maybe."
"No, too late. The boat's gone."
"Well, what do we do with the stuff that we can't get in the trunks, Myrtle?"
"Well, leave it."
"Oh, Myrtle, all those nice old hats of yours. Well, there must be 20.
"Well, they're all out of date. I like to travel light, fast, and far."
"But you're almost jubilant about it."
"Yes, sir. I wish we were going on one-nighters." "Oh, that must be Peter back to say yes." "Oh, it's Billy. Well, we're astounded and flabbergasted. Come in, Miss DeVere."
"What are you looking for, Billy? Trouble?"
"Margie."
"Well, I just dropped in. I thought I'd see if you were at home and kind of visit a little or something."
"Oh, lonesome, Billy?"
"Oh, I don't know."
"She must be. None of the girls speak to her."
Margie, go on out in the kitchen and make some tea, will you? And some sandwiches. There's some cream cheese."
"Yeah, and there are tomatoes and bacon and mayonnaise. I'll whip up some real sandwiches."
"Good."
"Now that hound has grown. I bet he could eat the best part of a mule."
"That'll be just a snack, Billy."
"Mert, I really came up for a reason." "Oh, Margie will stay out there long enough, I'll tell you."
"Well, what, Billy?"
"Well, it's here in my purse. This.
I see. What's a check?
Yeah.
Pay to the order of Billy DeVere, $2,000. And it's signed Catherine Hunt.
That's the check she gave me for lying about you on the witness stand.
And you mean you didn't cash it?
No, I just got it from her that morning. Then I went to see Archer, and they put me in the jug the same day.
But you've been free now for several days. You could have cashed it.
No, Merritt. Something's happened to me since that day. I'm kind of changed, and well, you've been so decent and kind, sticking up for me and asking Hayfield to take me along with the show. I just couldn't cash it and keep it for myself.
Well, what are you going to do with it? Send it back to her? Tear it up?
Oh, I should say not. $2,000 is a lot of bucks. Read what's on the back.
On the back? Pay to the order of Myrtle Spear. Signed Billy DeVere.
Yeah, Mert, I want you to have it. Maybe it will pay you a little bit for all the dirty things I've done to you.
Oh, forget all that, Billy. And as for that check, why, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Here, take it. Tear it up. I don't ever want to look at it again.
No, but, Mert, if I tear it up, that Hunt dame will be in $2,000. No one will get the good of it but her.
Well, it's no good now unless I sign it, is it?
No, so think hard. What are you going to do with it?
Well, I know Margie wouldn't touch it. You see now, some charity maybe. Oh, I wonder who that is. Pardon me a minute, Billy.
Hello, Petunia.
Well, Madame DeVere.
Hello, Junior. Come in.
Tea's all ready.
Well, bring it in here, Margie. And bring another cup and saucer. Clarence is here.
Okay.
I'll clear this coffee table.
I'll help you, Matt.
Say, aren't you in the wrong pew, Billy?
None of that now, Clarence.
Hello, Clarence. Just in time for tea.
Tea? My dear, I'm in no need of stimulants. What I need is a sedative. I'm that high in the sky.
You do seem all excited about something, Clarence.
Oh, I can hardly retain my equilibrium. In fact, I'm dizzy.
And don't think we don't know it.
Oh, shush, Billy. I've had a windfall. Mert, you'll never believe me when I tell you about it.
Well, spill it. Spill it.
Well, Gates, come to the window. I want you to show you something.
Oh, for him?
What?
Right
what?
Over here, come
Where?
On.
I don't see anything.
Look down there, parked right in front of the building.
What, Clarence?
That car down there.
Huh? You mean the bright red open job? The one that looks like a fire engine?
That's it. It's Judge Casey's town and country car, a Marmosetta.
A Marmosetta is a monkey, Clarence.
Oh, don't be so dumb, Marge. I said Marmosetta. You certainly don't know your imports.
Well, all I've got to say is Judge Casey better get it away from the front of this building. Eisenhower would get a ticket for parking here.
I want you to know that car is practically mine.
What? Practically, huh?
Yes, Judge Casey has let me use it for 2 days, and if I like it, he's going to let me buy it. I tell you, I'm simply a twitter.
Well, what would you want with that old hag?
I want you to know that Marmosetta cost $15,000.
Yeah, when, Clarence?
No, just a mere decade ago.
Now the old goat wants to dump it.
Billy DeVere, speak with more respect, Judge Casey, and his Marmosetta.
Are you thinking of buying that thing?
I most certainly am.
Well, you don't need it, Clarence. We're all leaving on a train tomorrow night for Chicago, and your transportation will be paid.
Well, I've decided to drive to Chicago. I can make it in 2 days easily. We don't open in Chicago until next Tuesday night.
Well, goodbye and good luck. Be sure to leave instructions with Hayfield so we'll know what to do with your body.
Oh.
Say, it certainly looks pretty from up here, Myrtle. Say, I haven't ridden in an open car for ages. I'd just love to go for a ride.
Oh, thanks, Marge. I'll see that you're the only one who gets to ride in it.
Oh, won't you give me just one little ride in it, Clarence?
Well, I came up here, Petunia, to ask you and Marge to ride with me to Chicago and split on the gas and expenses, but you've cast so many aspersions, guess I'll just make the trip alone.
You've really made up your mind to buy it, Clarence?
Yes, Minerva. I'm going to the bank now.
Well, how much is the thing going to cost you?
$2,000. Judge Casey said it was a great bargain at that.
$2,000? Why, that's ridiculous. Have you got that much in the bank?
Listen, Bedelia, I've saved $2,025.10.
You mean to tell me you're going to use all your hard-earned savings to buy that old relic?
Oh, no. I'm going to pay him in installments of $100 a month.
Oh, Mert, that's it. Here's your chance.
Oh, Billy, it'd be such a waste.
Well, no one would be the loser but Madam Hunt.
What are you two talking about?
That's right. Stop being so confusing. I don't like secrets.
Clarence, how would you like to get that old Marmosetta for, practically nothing.
You mean, maybe you could wheedle it out of Judge Casey? Say, that's an idea.
No, it'll be paid for. Hand me the pen and ink, Margie.
Here. Well, what are you going to do, Myrtle?
I'm going to endorse this. Pay to the order of Clarence Tipping Tupper. There. I've signed my name.
Myrtle, what is this?
Now, all you've got to do is write pay to the order of Judge Casey and sign your name and the car's yours.
Oh, Myrtle, you can't afford it. Please don't.
The money isn't coming out of Myrtle.
Oh, dear, this check. I'll bet it's the bribe money Mrs. Hunt gave to Billy.
Either take it, Tiffing Tuffer, and sign your name, or we tear it up.
Tear it up? Heavens, are you nuts? There, it's signed. And I might say, Billy DeVere, as for you, all is forgiven.
Now, make it payable to Judge Casey.
Murdo, are you kidding? I've got just 30 minutes to get to the bank. I'll get this check cashed and... Oh, this is wonderful. The judge said I could have the car for $1,200 if I gave him cash. I've made myself $800. Well, I've got to run now. Tats and thanks, Kate. Just heaps and heaps and heaps, I mean.
Mert's kindness to her former arch-rival, Billy DeVere, has resulted in an unusual return. Now Mert and Marge are committed to traveling to Chicago by car with Clarence. And that, knowing Clarence, is certain not to be a simple operation. Don't miss the next exciting chapter in the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Beru speaking. Story of Mert and Marge. An unexpected last-minute development has completely changed the plans of Mert and Marge for their trip to Chicago. Instead of traveling with the rest of the Hayfield Pleasures Company, they are going by car with Clarence Tiffingtuffer. Life with Clarence has never been simple. So there's no telling what will happen on the trip. In just a moment, we'll bring you today's episode and the exciting story of Mert and Marge.